Oh, that musky guy. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is Friday. Good Friday morning, May 27th, 2022, at 8:41 a.m. This is kind of late, I know. I'm back at the home office now, at least. The home studio. I had to go to the, of course, if you listened to the show yesterday, I went to the studio yesterday. The main studio, big studio, the big international headquarters for the news, according to me. I had a client that had to have some work, just had to have it done for the next day, which was today. Today's the next day, if you didn't know what today was. Today's the next day. And it's also, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's a weekend at Shabbat Shalom, by the way. This is, did I say that already? I think I said that already. I'll say it again. Shabbat Shalom. The Memorial Day weekend is kind of a special weekend in this country. We take a day to remember, specifically, to remind us to remember. Because we really should remember every day those who've gone before us and the reason that they've gone before us. Not just those who've lost their lives, but their livelihoods. Those who've lost limbs, their health, whatever it might be. They have sacrificed their time, their life, for what we call freedom in this country. Now, there are politicians who take advantage of those things, but I would say probably not so much. I don't think those soldiers laid their lives down for some of the things that politicians like to send them off to do. Oh, they wrap it in the flag. But frankly, I think what you will, and I have the right to my opinion in this. Duty to your country is one thing, just this blatant. And they should be honored for that. But the politicians who make some of these decisions flippantly, sending our best, our brightest, youngest people off to serve their country, which they are. They're serving their country. Unfortunately, their country is quite often in the form of politicians betraying them. That's just my opinion. That's, in my opinion, it's despicable and disgusting. So for those of you who served or are serving, I want to just take this moment to say thank you for that service. It matters. It matters to hundreds of millions of Americans. So on behalf of all of them, I think I'm going to just say thank you, because I don't think if you listen to the news, you'd never hear that from many people in certain parties and certain places. They just don't have any respect for that. Whether you're in law enforcement, military, Coast Guard, whatever it is you do, if you clean toilets at the municipal building downtown, thank you for that. There was, I want to talk a little bit about this shooting that happened down in Texas. There are a number of people who are trying to use this event, this tragedy, this heinous act. To push a political agenda, to make it about them and their narrative. Now, there are people on the left and the right doing and saying things that I think are going too far in some ways. And in the process, we belittle and dishonor the people involved in this whole thing. Last night on the Sean Hannity radio broadcast, Joe Pags stepped in for Sean Hannity last night. He was going on about the police officers, and he was very careful to not cross a line of accusing the police officers of not going in to help. They were standing around outside. I guess this is becoming a big event, a big thing, that they were standing around outside, not doing their job, not going in. That's what they swore an oath to go in to protect people and to lay their lives down. Actually, I don't believe actually they do. That unless there's something different in other states, at least in the state of Indiana, a police officer is not obligated to lay his life down for you. If they do so, it is no different than any other citizen doing that. Now they swear maybe an oath to protect or whatever, to protect and serve. But in no place, I don't believe in any policy of any police officer, it's expected of them for some reason, and I think they go in knowing that. But it's not a policy that they have to stand between a bullet and you. I would say a majority of them are probably willing to do that. But they're not obligated to that. You're not entitled to have another human being stand between you and them just because you pay taxes. And I am hearing a lot of, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of officers that will do that. They think that it is their duty, that they have a duty to do that. I try to put myself in their shoes. First of all, if they were told to stand down, I don't know if they were told to stand down, if they were told to stay out and do a perimeter. This kid, my understanding is he had body armor on. This is what I've heard. They went in, or maybe he was just well secured, had himself in a good position. The officers went in and they were being shot up. You can't sustain that. I don't know what kind of training these officers had. They had to send a special teams unit in. And it has nothing to do with the kind of gun he had. I'm telling you, just because he had an AR-15 or two of them, whatever he had, I don't know what he used in this particular sake. I understand that he bought two AR-15s right before this happened, like a week before or something like that. My understanding is he also shot his grandmother in the face before this all started. Then he got into a car chase, crashed the car into a ditch in front of the school, shot at people after he got out of his car, across the street, and went into a school. This is not just some school shooting where a kid brought a gun to school. This is a man with mental illness. And there's no law on the books. Even a background check, I don't think, would have stopped this guy. He didn't have any priors. And they're big on this whole background check thing now. Trying to go through that, have to have a background check. Just on and on. It's unbelievable. The rhetoric that's going on with this whole thing. In the meantime, we're disrespecting and disregarding the families and the children that have gone through this. Now, I don't know. We'll find out more about what happened with the police. I don't know what happened there. There was no officer on duty at the school. We have what they call resource officers now that most schools will have. And I don't know, you know, we talk about the expense of that. I mean, how many schools are there in the country? And how many incidents are there every day? The numbers are staggeringly low in most schools. If a storm randomly hits a school and kills a bunch of children, you know, we try to do something next time to try to help find a way to protect the children as far as storm, you know, prediction and places for them to go if a storm hits a school. But it's stuff can happen that we can't foresee this stuff. And all the laws on the books, folks, especially if they're not enforced, which is one of the problems we have right now, is that a lot of the laws on the books are not enforced. And they wonder why we have incidents like this. And they want to pass more laws on people who obey the law. It's almost as insane. I just wanted to say that because as we go into this Memorial Day weekend and we have individuals like, I'm not going to mention any names. I'm just going to say his name rhymes with Barack. He tweets out that we need to remember George Floyd while this is going on. And of course the right says, you know, derogatory things about George, and then they go on to say, you know, and honestly, no, there's no correlation, there's no memory, the similarities that don't exist between George Floyd and what happened down in Texas. There's just nothing there to, unless he's talking about the police officers again, that they acted stupidly, as he said once before. I don't understand that mentality where you come up with that to try to twist this whole thing into a different narrative from there. That just blows my mind. Now, Steven Crowder the other day did probably one of the better shows that he's done talking about gun violence in the country compared to other countries. We rank, to hear our politicians on the left, you'd think we were the number one murder capital in the country and that we're the highest gun crime country in the world. We are not, by the way. Even among first world countries, we are not. I believe there's about 16,000 gun crimes committed here a year, 14 to 16,000, I think. I'm just spouting these numbers off from what I recall having heard. I could sit here and go through Google and look all this stuff up, but I just won't take time to do that this morning. You can Google yourself. But there are tens of thousands, teens of thousands, I guess, of gun crimes every year in this country. It is estimated that there are well over 1 million, probably 1.2 to 1.3 million crimes stopped every year by the use of a gun. There are about half that number of lives estimated having been saved.
Oh, you don't know. You can't tell if that person had a gun. You know, you don't know if he saved your life or not.
Well, we're given the straw man all the time by the left. So let's just use the straw man here. As far as we know, even if just half of those people, in those 1.2 million who stopped a crime with a gun, if half of them saved a life, if a fourth of them saved a life, that's more lives saved with guns than were taken with guns. More people are killed every year in this country, and this is an absolute fact. You can look at the FBI's crime statistics. More people are killed with knives every year than with guns. In fact, people are killed hand-to-hand deaths, chokings, beatings. More often than with guns themselves. You just can't argue with the statistics. Well, but they're killing thousands of black men. The police are killing thousands of black men a year. No, that's not true either. In 2019, I don't know any numbers other than this. In 2019, there were like 16 people shot, unarmed people shot by police. And some of those were considered armed. Some more than half of them were considered dangerous. The others were threatening. And then there's the George Floyd thing. And depending on who you want to believe, the cause of death had everything to do with those trials of the police officers. And that is still a very shady thing, because there were two different autopsies and they both had different outcomes. One of them was obviously, they kept arguing about this whole fentanyl issue and all the other drugs that were in his system. Well, he had a tolerance to fentanyl, even though he had a deadly amount. For him, it wasn't a deadly amount, because some people can have a higher tolerance than others. Oh. And we know that he had a higher tolerance because he had been being treated with fentanyl, and some doctor decided that. Yeah, the police officers in that case did not do a perfect job. They should have called an ambulance way before they did. They should have, could have, should have, would have, a lot of things. However, it's just, and then we have the police officers down in this Texas area, this Texas town, that are under scrutiny and under attack, basically, by the social media crowd for not doing their job, supposedly. We don't know. We don't know that. They may have been just obeying orders. They were just, it was the fog of war. Who knows what was going on there? And then we have people like Beto, spoke about this yesterday, walks into a town meeting, a press conference type thing, where it was disrespectful to not only the children, it was just disrespectful to the officers that were there, the people in office, the mayor, the governor, the lieutenant governor. It was disrespectful to all of them. Now, my understanding is Beto wants to run for, he's running for governor or something down there, I guess now. And he disrespects the very office that he wants to take over. And, good on Texas for just, kicking him out of the meeting. Doesn't matter if you're a candidate or if you're popular, doesn't matter. Just kick the guy out. He's being disorderly. Get treated like every other citizen that would do such a thing. You're not, this age of the elitist has got to go. I keep hearing from the elitists that no one is above the law. And yet those very people who say no one's above the law are the very people who are above the law. Hillary Clinton said it famously more than once. after the 2016 election. And yet there she is outside of prison. And we find out all along that she was directly involved in Russiagate. And I'm talking about the phony Russiagate scandal that she committed. And you can't tell me. This is another thing. Let's just transition over to this other issue right now. The Sussman trial has been very interesting. It's been very revealing on both sides of the issue. I think when it all filters down and the decision is made, now I believe, the more I have thought about this, the more I think this may end up in a hung trial, a hung jury. You know, what happens after that, I don't know. But I believe it's going to be a hung jury. I believe there are plants and there are people on the jury. There are Hillary Clinton donors on the jury. That the prosecutor did not kick off. All, you know why? Because they said they can be objective. They can be unbiased. Yeah, they voted for Hillary and they gave to her campaign, but they're not prejudiced. They're not biased. And the defense didn't even ask him any questions. They just say, yeah, let that person on. So there's some bias among that jury. Just saying. Now, the testimony that has come out, now there's something else the judge just, I guess, disallowed some kind of email that for some reason that actually spoke about the Russian dossier, steel dossier, whatever you're gonna call it, was a fake. And he's not allowing that testimony. I don't understand exactly what's going on with that for sure. I may be getting that wrong. But there's something about that, this email that he booted out of evidence, and I don't understand that. But there's evidence. In fact, there's a report here somewhere. I just saw this morning. This is on the news, Real News Network. Reliable News Now, I'm sorry. Court testimony shows Spygate conspirators deceived the FBI using the same strategy twice. Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager testifies in the Michael Sussman trial. Tech executive Rodney Jaffe fed the Alpha Bank hoax to the FBI via two distinct routes. Testimony in the Michael Sussman criminal case indicates. So the tech executive, Rodney Jaffe, fed, I guess that's his name. No, not Rodney Jaffe, fed the Alpha Bank hoax to the FBI via two distinct routes. Testimony from yesterday's proceedings in the Michael Sussman case, criminal case, indicates this apparent circular reporting further cements, they don't have proper punctuation in here, or it's just this bad grammar. Further cements Special Counsel John Durham's Section 1001 false statement case against Sussman, and by highlighting the significance of Sussman's alleged lie to a former FBI General Counsel James Baker. Now, they're making it sound like, oh, it was Sussman that came and deceived the FBI. Sussman, who's in the middle of Week 2 of his trial in D.C. federal court, was charged last fall in one-count indictment with lying to Baker when he provided Baker two flash drives and several white papers, purporting to establish the existence of a secret communication network between the Russian-based Alpha Bank and the Trump Organization. This is a good article, actually. I wish I had the time to read through the whole thing, but Here's my issue with this whole thing, with the FBI claiming they didn't know anything about this. When you have people like Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, McCabe, Comey, Rosenstein, and Ray. All these people, especially with the emails and the text messages that were going back and forth that we all know of, those weren't Russian conspiracies. Those weren't Russian plants. Those weren't Russian misinformation campaigns. Disinformation. Those were real text messages. Talking about the insurance policy. Talking about the Hillary winning 1,000,000 to 1. Or 1,000,000 to 0, whatever it was she claimed. This stuff, if the FBI was deceived, I would say the FBI was willingly deceived. Personally, I think maybe they weren't the ones who created the story, but they certainly went along with it. Now, I guarantee you they're being protected by their handlers. They're being protected by everybody around them. As the so-called deep state, the bureaucrats who don't get elected, the people who are supposed to be non-biased and apolitical, are not. They're just simply not. The nation is very polarized in all aspects of life right now. Very polarized. It's becoming easier to find some people now. I just talked to a guy last couple of days who was on the, he was on the left. He was a Democrat. And now he's actually asking the right questions. He's saying, you know, it's only the Republicans that I see that are trying to actually protect our rights. It seems like every time rights are taken away or every time they try to come after rights, it's always the people on the left. It's kind of disturbing him. They're the ones with the kind of the wacky philosophies and the ideas. They're not just trying to let happen. They're trying to push it on. They're trying to recruit people into. They're trying to push people into. Much like green technology. You know, we need to use the resources we have to get us to the next stage of alternative energy. That will happen through the market naturally, through innovation and through just this innate thing within us that makes us want to be able to do things cleaner and be able to, you know, come up with some perpetual motion machine, which doesn't exist. But we want to come up with a better way to do nuclear, a better way to do whatever. We will do it. Not just because Biden says, you know, we're 300,000 people strong, and whatever he says, I don't know. May I move dog face in the banana patch? I don't know what he's out there, guys. He's lost in his bouncing around. I don't know. I just don't know. And you know, with now you have to understand, Durham works for the DOJ. Now, I would like to hear him say he works for the people. But unfortunately, he works for the DOJ. And in that respect, I don't, until I hear see something other than that. There's something about when you work for people in the company, you tend to want to protect people in the company, unless you want their job. But you care about the reputation of the organization you work for, typically. When you're at the top, and when you're at the top management level of it. And sadly, that, you know, police officers tend to protect themselves, protect each other in situations. Whenever there's events that happen. And he's basically part of the law enforcement branch. And that's I just don't know. I don't know if he's trying, you know, if he's careful about protecting somebody else in the FBI. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to actually be willing to go down that route and do some investigation internally. Because obviously, when you have somebody who lies on a FISA warrant application, whatever happened to that guy? I guarantee you, if I lie on a court document knowingly, it was no mistake, folks, that somebody changed a yes answer to a no answer. That's the complete opposite. Wasn't a mistake. And then people signed off on it 2 or 3 times after that. This thing just smells. And if Durham does his job and heads roll and people go to prison, people will start to trust the justice system once again. This whole thing just needs to have the lights turned on. Let the cockroaches try to run and hide and find out there's no place to run and hide. Except for behind bars. They need to be treated like everyone else who's not above the law. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care if it's Clinton, Obama. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer. McConnell. McCarthy. I really don't care. Justice needs to be served. And I think the people of this country are starting to wake up to that. They're starting to realize that, hey, we have got some problems that really need to be straightened out at the top levels. These people are drunk with power. They feel it as if they are completely Teflon when it comes to having anything enforced upon them. We have a Speaker of the House right now who acts like a 12-year-old. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend any 12-year-olds. More like a 10-year-old. I'm sorry. Sorry, 10-year-olds. Let's go with 2-year-olds. They don't really understand what I'm talking about. I don't even think I know what an offense is. She acts like that. I mean, who does this? The President of the United States hands you a copy of his speech, and you tear it up. What's wrong with this person? There's just something wrong with that mentality altogether. I wonder what just happened to... my reliable news now just became unreliable. All of a sudden it went away. That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, I really need to talk about some things this morning. I guess one of those things is what's in my cup. We have, we have the vanilla chai with French vanilla creamer. But I have a backup cup this morning, so because I am in a rut, so I had to have something else behind me. The other thing I have is the last of my homemade sweet tea. It's a sad thing. It's got me all choked up. That's my backup cup. And I'm almost out of this. Actually, my chai has gotten a little bit, it's kind of cooled off. It would probably be better if I just put ice in it. Have an iced chai. That's, with summer coming, there's going to be more of that. I've been doing that more lately, especially when I'm down south. And this evening, I actually have an opportunity to speak locally. This hardly ever happens for me. I hardly ever speak locally here anymore. I used to speak occasionally around here, but I don't haven't for a long time. This is going to be real interesting. And it's a short talk, I think. I don't know. You know me. I start talking. My show's supposed to, my podcast was meant to be 15 minutes long. It always turns into an hour. So that's just to give you an idea. Because, you know, you got to have a lot of all these stories. Well, first you got to know what's in my cup. You know, that takes 20 minutes. And then I have to tell you about all the boring, you know, stuff that happened in my life in the last 24 hours. That always takes another, you know, 30 minutes. And then I have, you know, 5 minutes of what's in the news. And that's, you know, pretty much the way the show goes. So I get to speak tonight. I'm kind of looking forward to it in a sense, but I have no idea what I'm going to say yet. And which you know, I can come up with 8 pages of outlines. And as soon as I get the microphone, I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. It's just, I just start rattling off. And usually it gets real. Maybe that's why nobody's asked me to speak here in the area lately. Maybe that should have been my first clue. But I am looking forward to it. I have a good weekend ahead of me. I actually have the weekend off. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything other than just stuff around the house and, you know, possibly going for a bike ride, doing things like that. Might take the motorhome out and just drive it around a little bit to let the, you know, get all the oil moving, get the moisture worked out of it. Get it all cleaned up, ready to sit for the rest of the summer. That's typically what it does. But at least we got one, so that's got that going for us. I might take down a couple trees. We'll see how that goes. I got about 7 trees that are dead on my property that I need to take down. Out of the 142 that I have, I got the old moth, the old worm got in there. Whatever that thing is, the weevil. Ash borer, whatever the thing is, got in there. So I need to take down a few of those. Might do that this weekend. We'll see how that goes. Other than, you know, I got other things going on, like spending money, stuff like that. Cooking stuff on the grill. That's how America celebrates. But I want to thank, I did have one thing going on, I guess, just looking at the listenership again, I want to thank those of you who are subscribing and sharing and listening to the podcast. I've got to find a way to, I want to try to get back into the live podcasting again soon. The month of June actually looks as if it might be a decent month for me to possibly get some things done. This month has been just crammed with things that were, well, busy, but there's a couple things that were very stressful. Now, I've got a family member that is not doing well. But that's not stressful. That's just, it's just difficult. It's not stressful. What I went through this month was just more stressful. Got through it. Everything was fine. But it was just it's one of those things that, happens. Right now it's, happens about about once a year. It's once every 6 months to a year that I have to go through this, stuff, this training stuff that's, let's just say it's stressful. Anyway, as we keep Memorial Day in mind this weekend, we remember those who've served, are serving. Let's try to step back from all the rhetoric and all the, and just give pause, I guess, to what the news cycle is trying to push on us. When you talk to your neighbors, you know, let them talk. If they have an opinion, just let them share it. You don't have to agree with them. And you know what? You also don't have to argue with them. Now, if you want to get in, if it's a person you can get into a discussion with and still maintain some kind of relationship with, and keep the peace, then that's, if you're good at that, that's good for you. Do it. We need those kinds of people out there educating others. But if it's just an argument for the sake of argument, you're not going to change their mind. Just let them do the talking till they, are blue in the face. They get done talking, and they usually they end up talking themselves into a circle, and they end up contradicting themselves. And then you can say, "Well, I thought you said this." "Well, I did, but then, I know I am, but so what are you?" So it's like, just let them go there. Which brings me to the next little subject, kind of a thing that's going on right now. I guess Elon Musk and AOC have been getting into a little tit-for-tat on Twitter, of all places, which is kind of funny because AOC now is talking about she's going to sell her Tesla. Now, you have to understand, when AOC first went to Congress, she was whining and crying about the cost of an apartment in D.C. because she couldn't afford one. They were saying that housing needed to be free. She needed a break on housing because she couldn't afford this housing on her. Apparently, she has no problem affording it now. She's realized how she can play the game now. Because she was just looking at her salary. She didn't realize she was getting all these kickbacks and paybacks and all this extra money coming in. Because all of a sudden, she's got a test. How did you go from not being able to afford an apartment? And by the way, a lot of people in D.C. don't even own a car. To buying a Tesla, brand new, by the way. Brand new Tesla. Which now she's talking about selling because she doesn't like the fact that Elon Musk has upset her, so now she doesn't want to buy this Tesla. And she was going on, you know how she is about when people start picking on her. "Oh, you just don't like me because I won't date you." So Elon made basically the same kind of snapback, something about stop hitting on me or whatever it was he said. She said, "Well, I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about Zuckerberg." And then she ended up taking the text. She deleted the whole tweet. Of course, you can't delete a tweet there. When people are watching everything you're doing, they take screenshots of all this stuff. So it's out there. But I just thought it to be very funny. So somebody else was getting involved in the whole thing too. I can't remember what was going on. They took some kind of poll. Who do you trust, billionaires or trust politicians who've never done anything for you, or billionaires who've actually made a difference in the world? I don't trust either one all that far, but I tell you what, if I'm going to trust a billionaire right now, I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be Elon Musk. And I know people are kind of creeped out by this whole cyber thing with the whole, chip implant thing he's talked about. With, the brain thing. You put the thing in there and make your brain link to a computer link brain type thing. That's where technology is going, folks, where people are working on that even as I speak here. There are people trying to get that accomplished. Now, that could have a lot of good implications. It could also be used for incredible evil. And he acknowledges that. He acknowledges that. Makes no qualms about that. He understands that, that could be a bad thing, but it's also, inevitably, that's where we're headed. We are headed to a hybrid human existence. I mean, we are very close to, with all the genetic stuff going on, everything else that's going on technology-wise, there is going to be a race of people who start to do this kind of stuff, who have the ability to, think about it. If you could, in your thought pattern, if you could look up anything in Google, anything on the internet, all the information that's in the internet, that you had access to it at any point as you're just going along speaking, and you could look that stuff up in your head. If you could do that, And then you had some kind of genetic morphing. There's been movies about this stuff for years and years, about genetically enhanced soldiers. Hitler tried to do this through breeding. And they're trying to do it now through genetics. You know, soldiers who are faster, tougher, heal faster, have a certain level of IQ or certain personality types. Who are raised from a test tube with no parents, just everything from day one is raised to be a soldier. And then you couple that with this computer implant thing in your head, along with any kind of exoskeleton type equipment that they can put on themselves. This is, you know, pretty invincible type human being. But just think about the genetically, you know, if parents have the opportunity to genetically alter their children to be smarter, to be more of more athletic, or both, and they don't do that. So their kids are raised in schools, they're just, you know, they're the kids who don't have, you know, they're not as smart as everybody else. They can't do anything in sports like everybody else. Pressure is going to be on parents to go that route. My kids have to compete. There are parents who will hold their children back from going to school for a year so that they will be a little older in class and they'll be able to excel above their classmates. That happens all the time. Now, my parents didn't do that for me. I was the last of three children, and I came along about 8 years after my sibling before me. I was what you call the October surprise. But it happened in November. Actually, the surprise probably came, sometime around June. I don't know. But I digress. Guess what? You're going to have a chai drinker. I had an interesting experience as a child. I think by the time I came around, they wanted me out of the house. Like, is he old enough to walk around in school? Do you think he can just at least get there and, like, did he stop drooling? Okay, let's send him to school. Get the pacifier out of his mouth and send him to school. I started very young, and I ended very young. I'd like to think that they sent me to school early because I was smart enough to go to school. I don't think that was the motivation there. I think I proved them wrong on every point by the time I graduated. I did graduate, though, by the way. I was able to get that accomplished, barely. Out of a class of 92 kids, I graduated number 2 from the bottom. Yeah, that's where I'm at. That was, you know, 40 years ago. I guess a little more than that. But it's just... Anyway, I started my senior year when I was 16 years old. Yeah, football was not a thing that was going to work for me, my class. And when I was in junior high, I started my junior high year at 11, 7th grade, I was 11 years old. And that summer, we had football practice. I wanted to be in football. Now, I was a scrapper. I'd take on the biggest kid coming down the field. I would grab a hold of that guy, lock onto his, you know, I'd try to pull his legs together. I'd, you know, just bear claw the guy, bear hug the guy, you know, just try to, boom, hit the guy. Usually I'd get knocked down. Saw stars. I didn't care. I'd do everything I could to trip the guy up. He'd just be dragging me down the field. I don't even think I slowed him down. He's just like, oh, this is fun. I think I just hit a bug, you know, kind of thing. These kids in 8th grade, they were already 14, 15 years old. Huge. And I played a lot of ball with the kids in the neighborhood, and we just, it was no pads, no helmets. We would play games, I can't even talk about the name of them here. And it was just, it was bad. You'd have like three or four guys. And what you would do is everybody would be behind you. You'd have a line behind you. And you take the ball and you'd throw it over your, you have your back to all these guys. You take the ball and you throw it over your head. Whoever caught the ball, it was every man for himself at that point. You were on your own to try to get the ball down to the touchdown zone. So if it was three or four guys, they're all after you. And we would just kill each other. You'd pile on. Yeah, it was full contact tackle. And then, of course, when you got tackled, you were at that point. You'd stand there with your back to everybody else. You'd throw the ball back there again. And this would go on for hours. We'd just kill each other. And then I got out there and played organized ball and thought that was the way we're supposed to play. I think the coach was kind of impressed with me. He was also a little concerned about me. I got knocked down one time by this guy named Drudge. Drudge, that's a good name, isn't it? His last name is Drudge. Football player. One of our best football players in junior high. He got the ball. He came through the line. Everybody just stepped aside because they didn't want to get hit by this guy. Well, not me. Boom. Down on my back. I still had a hold of his foot. He eventually got loose of that. All I remember was seeing a bright light. Got done, got up. Coach said, "You okay?" I just shook it off. Yep. Get right back up the line. I was not going to admit that I was hurting. So they did it again. Yeah. Those were fun days. Good days. Yeah. Back when kids were kids and nobody cared about their health. You could drink from a garden hose. You could stay out until the streetlights came on, running around town all over the place. Come with a dirty face, dirty all over. Go to bed. No bath. Wake up the next day, do it again. Yeah. So I guess that's the way you're supposed to live anyway. That's the way I lived. That was suburbia there for you. That's why everybody lived on my block. But I digress. America, it's not so much I want to go back to those days, but I want kids to have a childhood like I had. To be able to just be at peace. And it's, I hear these ridiculous progressives are saying, "Oh, you guys just want to go back and live in the 50s. You want to live like the old times and bring back all the old stuff." I'm like, and that was so bad because why? Explain to me exactly why that was such a bad thing. Because apparently we're running headlong into something that is much worse. Apparently you don't understand. At what point are you going to be satisfied and happy with the way things are? Are we going to accept enough LGBTQ SIPP++ society? And then what's it going to be on top of that? I mean, wouldn't you just be able to say G+, and that would include everybody. But it has to be, you have to get the 12 letters in before you put plus and then plus plus. Do you see the insanity going on here? How ridiculous this is. And not just to accept it, but to promote it. Disney now has a new thing out. And Mark Dice just put out a video this morning talking about Disney's promotion of the drag queen festival that they're going to have. You see, they don't just want to accept the LGBTQ community. They want to promote and indoctrinate and groom into that community. But I digress. We're facing some serious times ahead, folks. I mean, if you look at the direction things are going, and you continue to draw a line from, you look at point A, and you look at point B. So you look at where we were 50 years ago, where we are today, and you draw a line through those two points. And you see where that line is going, and you look down another 50 years to where that line will be. There's no way a society can stay and maintain itself and sustain itself heading in that direction. But for an intervention from God, an actual revival, there is no hope for humanity in this respect. That is my conclusion. It has happened many times in other societies before. Some have collapsed and crumbled because they rejected God. And some have turned, not just away from their sin, but they've also turned to God. There's two parts to repentance. One is turning away, and the other is turning to. We don't just turn away from our sin, or the things that we've... And this is where I think modern-day psychology tries to get people to figure out their problems, but then they don't turn them to something that keeps them from going back to their problems. Or they just have to kind of walk parallel or live with their issues. And I know it's hard to believe, but God actually wants us to experience deliverance from those things. To be totally set free from those things. Now, we are always going to be human. We always have the capacity to go back to Egypt. But again, that's a choice that we can then deliberately make rather than just to be enslaved by it. I see that my time is up. I hear that my bumper music is in my headphones. And I hear the pitter-patter of my puppies upstairs who want to go outside. So I need to get them outside before they decide that outside can't wait. What they do outside can't wait, I guess I should say. So I will just go ahead and end this show now as the weekend draws near, as the close of the week happens. I possibly, probably, will have a show over the weekend, maybe. There's always that possibility, so just stay tuned. However, Monday morning, I am planning on doing a show Monday morning, believe it or not, on Memorial Day. Maybe a little bit more talk about the whole, what Memorial Day is, possibly. We'll see how that goes. But it also depends a little bit on what's happening with the weekend and where we go, so if we go camping or something. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Take care.